Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on April 28th, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Marcy Begleiter and Karen Shapiro.
Thank you.
So, ladies, I'll just ask sort of an introductory question to get things started, and then we'll throw it out to our audience. I'm sure they have questions for you.
Sure.
Can you just take us through sort of the origin of the project, how both of you kind of came to Hesse's work and also sort of came to want to make a film, make a feature documentary film about Hesse's work?
Sure. Okay. So I'll start that out. I discovered Eva Hesse's work when I was a student, an art student in graduate school, and had seen it only in reproduction. But I found it so engaging and mysterious that it was logical and it was absurd and it was hard and it was soft. And it kind of drew me to wanting to know something about the person behind the artwork, which then led me to Lucy LePond, who had written the very first book. There's no biography of Hesse in English, but there is Lucy LePond's book, which has a biographical section. So after reading that, I kind of became even more interested, partly because she quotes from Hesse's writings. And as you heard, we used Eva Hesse's writings as the narration for the film. It's like, why does one, you know, kind of go out in the world and sort of follow certain roads? I just kind of followed my heart and my mind. And I was discussing this with a friend of mine who said, oh, those unpublished diaries are in a little museum in Oberlin, Ohio. And again, I don't know sort of what compelled me, but I wrote a grant and I got some money to go and do a research there and spent a week where every day they'd give me white gloves and bring me big boxes, which I would open up. And inside were these extraordinary journals and letters. And I got to know Eva Hesse's voice, the woman behind the artwork. And that was really the beginning of my road on it. I did a project before this. And as you had mentioned before, I did a play called Meditations Eva Hesse, which was produced in Los Angeles in 2010. And that's where Karen and I have known each other for quite a while. This is my first directorial project, but I've been working in film a long time as an artist and a designer. And Karen, when I first moved out to LA, I'm a New York girl, moved out to LA. Karen was one of the first people who hired me. So we'd been keeping in touch for a long time, and I invited her to come see this play. And that's where you came in.
And I love the play, and I produced plays as well as film and TV, and I said, let's move it. But before we move it, we got to contact the estate. We have to contact Helen. And we decided before we contact Helen, let's not just go with a script that's already written. Let's get to know her, let her get to know us. And that would probably be the better approach. So Marcy came up with another idea of...
Yeah, I got another... I like writing grants. I got another grant this time to do a nonfiction piece, some original interviews with Lucy LePond and with Helen and with Tom Doyle. And I showed up with an audio recorder to do, so I figured that's a way to get to know everybody. And then I'll tell them I wrote a play. But that's sort of not the way it worked out. Because in meeting these remarkable people, I had this experience of, you know, coming in contact and having conversations with people in their 70s and 80s who had lived remarkable lives and also had had a relationship and an experience of Eva Hesse that was still really visceral to them. And it became clear to me after the, you know, somewhere between the third and fourth interview that a written piece based on audio interviews was not the way to communicate that experience that I'd had. That was very, for me, it was so moving and so profound. So I called my friend up and said, Karen, I have another idea.
And I said, I know what it is. You want to make a documentary. She said, how did you know? I said, I'm in my meditation this morning, it came to me you were going to call me and say, let's make a documentary. And I said, if you want me to produce it, I'm happy to produce it. And that was about 4.5 years ago. And so here we are, and we're so grateful to be here and at Film Forum with this film. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Any questions from the audience?
Could you describe a bit how you got the speakers to speak on film? I'm especially amazed you got Carl Andre to appear.
Oh, yes. I mean, Carl Andre, Richard Serra, Nancy Holt, Dan Graham, and we would just call them up or email and say, we're doing this project about Eva Hesse. And they would say yes. Because of the relation, actually, the beginning, Carl said, I'll talk to you, but I won't be in the movie. I don't want camera, you know. There was some resistance there. And we went, you know, but he invited us over. We went and we said, well, we'd like to talk to you as sort of background. And he invited us over. And we had a lovely conversation. It was about an hour and a half. And it was clear that his memory of Eva was still very much with him. He became quite emotional during that first conversation. And then as we were getting up to leave, he said, look, I know you're doing a documentary, and I'll be in it for Eva. And it was the power of that relationship that he had. And this is not just Carl. It's really, you know, Richard Serra doesn't do a lot of interviews for other people's projects. Even the, you know, people like tell the story about Grace.
Yeah. So for me, what was one of the most surprising things about doing this film was partly what Marcy found out when she first started meeting these people was Eva was there, so present in their memory. I kept wanting to look around the corner like she might be there. I mean, it was like this woman who died so many years ago was still very alive within them. And when we were talking to Grace, she's quite old and, you know, she says, I've had a lot of friends who have passed away, but none of them have stayed with me like Eva. Eva, she's with me every day. So all of these people, all of them were, she's very present and had a profound effect on their lives. And I think that's why they decided to do the film. Any other questions?
Yep.
Yes?
Thank you very much for this touching film.
Thank you.
The majority of the film was presented linear, but some of the life-changing moments were presented as flashbacks. And I was wondering, what made you decide to start a documentary at her adolescence instead of her birth at Germany?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think maybe this has to do partly with my my previous experience as a playwright. And underneath this documentary is a very, quite frankly, a pretty classical three-act structure. Starting from my interest and my sense that the invitation to Germany was the inciting incident of her life. It was a huge turning point, and that was going to be what triggered that invitation and that decision, not just the invitation, but the decision for this young Jewish woman to go back to Germany and to face whatever was there, that's really where the heart of the story begins. And so I wanted to build a first act where you get to know this, you know, young artist who's just hit New York and all of the things that are happening to her, and then what she needs to do to decide to leave New York in 1964. So that was the structure of the story. That doesn't work if you start in Germany. So it's the storytelling that led me to think we need to do this in flashback. You need to know who she is. You need to think for her as an art. And because really, this is about, you know, becoming. It's about art. It's about finding your way as someone with a voice. And it gives it for me, for us. We were also, Karen is a very creative producer. We talked a lot about structure before we went into this. And so we were always on the same page with this, that it wasn't going to be just a classical narrative. You know, she was born, things happened, she died.
And I think it makes it more powerful to show what, why she felt how she felt at those moments by reflecting back. So I always, Marcy and I talked a lot about that, that that would bring the power to the story. Yes, I yes, I know. I didn't know you were here. It's nice to see you, Ina. She probably told me, and I can't keep track.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I know that you showed the film all over Germany, right?
Yeah.
You did
well,
that recently.
The film actually opened today in 30 theaters in Germany.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
No, it's, I think it's over 30
all over,
now.
Over
but
30
we
theaters.
We were in Germany last week, and it premiered in Cologne and Hamburg.
Wow. Yeah. I just wondered what the reaction was.
Extraordinary. I mean, unbelievably, I was... I knew they would like it. I wasn't surprised by that. But they were so deeply touched and moved by the film. And it's the narrations in German, subtitles over the interviews. I was moved by their being moved. I that's what surprised me, is how touched we became by their being touched. And when we came up to speak, I started to cry, and I was like, what? I didn't expect that. But
I mean,
it was really nice.
I mean, honestly, I never heard applause like that in a movie. It was really, you know, it's, they, she's German to, you know, she's a, you know, we have a lot of support from, we got a German production grant from the government. We pre-sold the film before it even really existed to German television. They see this, you know, German Jewish woman as theirs as well, you know, right?
Yeah.
And we're bringing her home.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. We were bringing her home.
We brought her home. And it was a very emotional experience for a lot of people in the audience as well as us. So,
thank you.
It's one in the back.
To follow up about that, you had mentioned she had a show with Paul Bricka in Cologne. Were you able to talk to him at all?
We did. I interviewed him, but he didn't make it into the final cut. But he gave a great interview. What we ended up doing, as you can see, there's only a couple of people in the film who didn't know Eva. And so what we really wanted to do is to, A, let her tell her own story, and B, have people who had a direct knowledge of her talk about their experience. And as much as possible, I mean, we there are a couple of curators in there, and there's one historian, but other than that, we really stayed away from commentary. And Rolf did not know her, even though he had seen the work, and he was hoping to do a show.
No.
It was supposed to happen in late 69, and she was too ill. Yeah.
Early on, I think you said that she thought her mother was particularly attractive and looked like a movie actress. And I wondered what you know about the mother, her mother.
That she was a well-educated, beautiful woman who had some emotional instability, and that she survived the war. They got out, but she couldn't survive the loss of... You know, I didn't get it until I went to Hamburg. You know, you kind of read... I had not been to Hamburg until really kind of the end of the experience. And like, okay, they left Hamburg. They lost their stuff. You know, when I went to Hamburg and I went to the street where she lived, and then you realize that this family, what they had and what they lost, and her mother was fragile. And really what we know is that, you know, she came to New York, but within weeks, if not days, of finding out that her parents had been killed, she jumped out a window. She couldn't bear what the loss on the loss on the loss. And unfortunately, her two daughters, it compounds.
Yeah. Hamburg, to be there and also to see the place where they live, to be in the Jewish section, to be there, you get a sense of what they had. A very rich life when they were there. I mean, they were
not just in money, but in culture.
In culture.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it was totally different once they moved here. They
Washington Heights. Yeah, at one point the film had a section on Washington Heights. I mean, we didn't want to make a 3-hour film, so cut that down. But that was a real, they came out of Germany and they ended up in a German expat community in North Manhattan. But they lived a tiny little, and her father also. Here's this guy with 2 degrees, brilliant, accomplished, and comes to America and never, after that, he sells insurance. And, and not particularly successful at it, and not well, died in his mid-60s. So that was hard.
In terms of all the losses, in spite of that, how creative she was.
Exactly.
In spite, because of, whatever it was. For me, the image of Eva lying in that hospital bed in 1970 and making maquettes for her last great sculpture, I love it. It's inspiring. It's absurd. It's just so okay, I don't know how long I've got left, but no one's going to stop it,
Did you have any contact with her very early student life? I didn't notice any interview, or did you have to shorten the film because it was a wonderful film, very inspiring and very informational for me. Did you have a chance to either interview Cooper or Yale students?
Conversations.
They would be old. They would be old.
Yeah. We certainly talked to, we definitely talked to people who knew her then.
Yeah.
But it was just something that we decided we didn't have enough time to really explore. We needed to get, quite frankly, we needed to get to Germany.
I understand.
But we had, there's
Mark
friends
Strand.
Of hers.
We talked to Mark Strand.
Who knew her, the poet Mark Strand.
He went to Yale with her.
Well, I'm not famous.
Victor Mancuso, who's
Mancuso, I do know.
Yeah,
Mancuso.
He's got great posters right now at MoMA.
I talked to him. We had a good conversation on the phone,
And we thought about it, but it was at that point we knew we couldn't focus
Catherine
on that.
Catherine Crone, who was a roommate
at
Yale,
and I'm not famous, but for the audience or for you, just to know, I'm not sure the little piece, tiny piece of information I could give you was my impression of her.
Sure.
I was a typical 17-year-old college freshman, and she was in my painting class.
Oh, wow.
Really?
In Cooper Union, in Cooper. And the thing I remember of her, and when you say that the people you've interviewed have never forgotten her, I'm 78 years old, and I was 16 or 17. I still have the memory of her in my painting class. And the one thing I do want to tell you that I remember is that she was the best painter in the class, and we all were in awe of her. And I remember this feeling.
Wow.
She was special. She was painting by herself in the corner of the studio. She didn't flirt. She didn't talk to anybody. She didn't fool around very much. She was serious at 16 or 17. She may have been 18 at that time. And her paintings influenced the entire class. She was doing abstract expressionist or action painting at the time. And she influenced me, my painting, too. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you
so
much.
Wonderful.
She was very much alone. I mean, the film talks about a feeling of herself always being alone and separate, and that's how she was that young in class, doing what she was very good at. And
Thank you very much.
Well, she still has an influence at Cooper Union because we talked to a young artist who recently graduated from there, and he said we all talked about Eva the whole time I went to school there. And so thank you for sharing that.
You mentioned that some students eventually finished her last works.
Mm-hmm.
Were they students who studied privately with her, or did she give classes?
Okay, there were two. I mean, Doug called them students. One of them was a studio assistant, so it was Bill Barrett. And then the other one was actually more what we would call not a student from visual arts, but an intern who saw her work and sought her out and offered to come and work for her.
But she did teach, didn't she?
She did. Well, she had just signed a contract, full-time contract with Visual Arts, School of Visual Arts, and within one semester, it's like she signed and then she got sick. Yeah. But her students, from what Bill Barrett, which I heard from it today, actually, adored her. She was a popular teacher, partly because, I mean, I remember talking to someone who met Eva like twice and talked about how this experience of, if you've ever been with someone who gives you the kind of eye contact and attention and makes you feel as if you are the only one in the room, you have their complete engagement, and that's the way she was. And so that also kind of, helps the students who are remembering her remember that kind of connection.
So can I say one thing?
Yep, go ahead.
So I just want to remind people, there are postcards out there. You can go to MoMA, you can go to the Met, you can go to the Drawing Center, you can go to the Jewish Museum, and you can go to Hauserwerth and see her work live and in person. You can also see a lot of the other people in the film, their work is there as well, including, who's not in the film, Victor Mancuso, who did these great posters that are up at MoMA as well. Who knew, Eva?
Yeah, and also you can go to the studio where she made a lot of this great work. There's a lot of photographs in the film of this studio. You can visit it. And this is the first time in 45 years that it's been open to the public. And it just so happens that happened, that this gallery opened a few months ago.
Yes. And the Met Breuer. Yeah, exactly. Oh, really? Oh, that's great. Right. So you can find her. If you're into social media, participate with us. Take photographs.
Yeah, there's sort of a promotion going on if you want a poster. We have a few posters available, but you have to go out and take photos.
And
thank you so much. We're going to go hang out outside a little
bit, ladies.
If you want to talk to us.
Thanks, everybody, very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.